Hare Krishna. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopijana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Gopijana Vallabha Gopijana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Manachari Yamuna Tira Manachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gope Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Gope Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Gope Jana Vallabha Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Manachari Yamuna Tira Manachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada. Nitai Gaura Haribo, 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 Gaura Haribo. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Prabhupada Jyotara Sattva Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Jai. Skam founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. BBT founder Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nam Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Pram Sikha Ho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasri Gaura Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai. Shri Radha Krishna, Gopa Gopinath, Shamakun, Radhakun, Giri Govardhana Ki Jai, Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Mayapur Navadvip Dham Ki Jai, Ganga Mai Ki Jai, Jamuna Mai Ki Jai, Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Their Most Beautiful Lordship Shri Shri Radha Landanishwara Ki Jai, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki Jai, Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai, Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai, Sankirtan Yagya Ki Jai, Briha Madanga Transitional Book Distribution Ki Jai, Radhastami Marathon 2012 K. Srila Prabhupada's Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Jai, Briha Madanga Ki Jai, Nithai Gouda Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, everyone. Welcome. Thank you for attending Srimad Bhagavatam class. nice to have you with us. Today we'll be continuing our reading from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 29, the pastimes of Krishna and the gopis meeting. And today we'll finish this chapter. Starting with text 39, and we'll go up to the text that's on the board, which I think is 48. Yeah, okay. So I'll read quite a few verses and some purports. So I just request everyone to please try to stay attentive. Before I begin, I would like to seek blessings from all the assembled Vaishnavas. Although I am exceptionally disqualified to speak anything from the pages of the Bhagavatam at all, let alone this very intimate and confidential section of the Bhagavatam, I beg for the blessings of the Vaishnavas that I may be able to speak something as a service, something both bona fide and relevant. Hare Krishna. So before we begin, please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Please forgive me. I won't read the Sanskrit for all of the verses because there's so many. I'll just read the English and we'll repeat verse 48, which is on the board. So, starting Canto 10, Chapter 29, Text 39. Translation and purports by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Seeing your face encircled by curling locks of hair, your cheeks beautified by earrings, your lips full of nectar, and your smiling glance, and also seeing your two imposing arms, which take away our fear, and your chest, which is the only source of pleasure for the goddess of fortune, we must become your maidservants. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur envisions the gopis' dealings with Krishna as follows. Krishna says, "You want to become my maidservants? So do I have to buy you with some payment, or are you giving yourselves freely?" The gopis reply, "Since the beginning of our youthful womanhood, you have been purchasing us with a payment millions and millions of times more than enough. That payment is your gem-like smiling glance, which constitutes a great treasure like we have never heard about or seen anywhere else. When you put your golden turban on your head, your maidservant will act as your valet, pulling up the turban bit by bit, until it is in just the right position. And even while you shake a chastising finger at her, trying hard to prohibit her, she will put her hand beneath your turban and take the opportunity to glance at your face. Thus we, your maidservants, will relish with our eyes your abundant sweetness." Krishna says, "Your husbands will not tolerate this behavior of ours. They will complain bitterly to King Kamsa, thus producing a fearful situation for me and for you as well." The gopis reply, "But Krishna, your two mighty arms make us fearless, just as they did when you held up Govardhan Hill to protect us from the pride of Mahendra. Those arms will certainly kill that beast Kamsa. But being a religious person, I cannot make other wives my maidservants. Oh dear crest jewel of religious personalities, you may say that you refuse to make the cowherd's wives your maidservants, but by force you have already taken Lakshmi, the wife of Narayan, from Vaikuntha and are carrying her around on your chest. Out of shame, she has assumed the form of a golden lion on your chest, and she takes her only pleasure there. Besides, within all the 14 worlds, and even above these worlds in Vaikuntha Loka, beyond this universe, you never reject any beautiful woman, no matter who she is or whom she belongs to. We know this quite well." So, this is quite a long purport, but mostly citing the interaction between Krishna and the gopis. We were discussing once before about how different rasas increase the relationship between Krishna and the gopis. We were discussing the five primary and seven sort of secondary rasas. And in this Ras Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, although this commentary is based on what he says, but further in his Sarita Darshini, he explains that different rasas are being used here to spice up the relationship. One of the rasas, could anyone detect any other rasas that were being displayed here other than the Sringara or Madhurya ras? jealousy, yeah, it could be there, I guess. Although jealousy, I don't think, is one of the secondary rasas. Humor, yeah, is there a bit. Anger, yeah, they're exhibiting a little bit of, not so much in this one, actually. There's anger there. Later, they get a little, there's a little man exhibited. One of them is chivalry. Anyone got that? Chivalry? They're talking about Krishna's strong arms being able to save them and protect them and making them fearless. So one of them is chivalry. Also, they're taunting a bit with Krishna. So like this, these different rasas are spicing up the interaction relationship between Krishna and the gopis. So continue. Dear Krishna, what woman in all the three worlds wouldn't deviate from religious behavior when bewildered by the sweet drawn-out melody of your flute? Your beauty makes all three worlds auspicious. Indeed, even the cows, birds, trees, and deer manifest the ecstatic symptom of bodily hair standing on end when they see your beautiful form. Clearly, you have taken birth in this world just to relieve the fear and distress of the people of Braj. Just as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Primeval Lord, protects the domain of the demigods, therefore, O friend of the distressed, kindly place your lotus hand on your maidservants' heads and burning breasts. And this there's no purport, but Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he explains more about the conversation between the gopis and Krishna here, and he uses some humor in saying that Krishna, because they're asking Krishna to place their lotus hands on their heads and on their burning breasts, and it's described there that Krishna will say, but if I place my tender hands upon your breasts, then I will burn myself. So I can't do that. So Krishna is playing and joking in this way. And then they express to place your lotus hand upon our heads to bless us that we may never be separated from you again. So in like this, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is adding a lot of depth. Shukadeva Goswami said, smiling upon hearing these despondent words from the gopis, Lord Krishna, the supreme master of all masters of mystic yoga, mercifully enjoyed with them, although he is self-satisfied. Among the assembled gopis, the infallible Lord Krishna appeared just like the moon surrounded by stars. He whose activities are so magnanimous made their faces blossom with his affectionate glances, and his broad smiles revealed the effulgence of his jasmine bud-like teeth. The word achyuta here indicates that Lord Krishna did not fail to give pleasure to each and every gopi in the nocturnal assembly. As the gopis sang his praises, the leader of hundreds of women sang loudly in reply. He moved among them, wearing his Vaijayanti garland, beautifying the Vrindavan forest. Purport. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, Lord Krishna sang many wonderful melodies and meters, and the gopis accompanied him, following his lead. Krishna's singing on this occasion is described in the Sri Vishnu Purana. Krishna saracha chandasmam kaumudim kumudar karam jagagopi janas tve kham Krishna nama puna punaha. Krishna sang the glories of the autumn moon, the moonshine, and the lotus-filled river, while the gopis simply sang his name repeatedly. So when couple of things here. When hearing this verse, I'm reminded of that picture. This picture of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan party, and then above it is the rasa dance of Krishna dancing and singing with the gopis. Obviously, the descending of the Harinam Sankirtan from the spiritual world from Goloka. What's the verse? Premadana, Harinama, Sankirtana, like that. So in this situation, you can sing. They're all singing and dancing together, and Krishna is chanting, and they're responding. Bishwa Chakravarti Thakur also gives, he actually explains the songs that they're singing, and it's in three tall, teen tall, and so many different things, really, really powerful. Krishna's Vajayanti garland. Anyone knows why it's called the Vajayanti garland?
It's got five different kinds of flowers.
Yeah, exactly. So the Vajayanti garland, it consists of five different types of flowers, therefore it's called the Vajayanti garland. So Krishna's garland today, 1, 2, 3, 3, so not quite. Huh? 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, very good. Let's see, Vajayanti garland. Krishna. He is Krishna. So like that. Okay, we'll continue reading. Sri Krishna went with the gopis to the bank of the Jamuna, where the sand was cooling and the wind, enlivened by the river's waves, bore the fragrance of lotuses. There, Krishna threw his arms around the gopis and embraced them. He aroused Cupid and the beautiful young ladies of Braj by touching their hands, hair, thighs, belts, and breasts. By playfully scratching them with his fingernails, and also by joking with them, glancing at them, and laughing with them. In this way, the Lord enjoyed his pastimes. Text 47. The gopis became proud of themselves for having received such special attention from Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and each of them thought herself the best woman on earth. As you would do, right? Purport. The gopis were proud because they had attained as their lover the greatest of all personalities. So in a sense, they were proud of Krishna. Also, the pride of the gopis was a pretense created by Krishna's pastime potency in order to intensify their love for him through separation. In this connection, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti quotes Bharata Muni's Natya Shastra. Navina Vipralambena Sambhog Pushtem Ashnute. Direct contact is not fully appreciated until separation has been experienced. So I'll repeat that. Direct contact is not fully appreciated until separation has been experienced. So the real pleasure found in sambhog, or the union with Krishna and the gopis, is only really fully manifested when there has been vipralamba, when there has been some separation. Or in English we use the phrase that absence makes the heart grow fonder. Okay, and today's verse, text 48, is on the board. You can please repeat. Tasham tatso bhagamadam vikshamanam chakeshavaha prashamaya prasadaya tatrai vantara diyata tasham tatso bhagamadam vikshamanam chakeshavaha prashamaya prasadaya tatrai vantara diyata tasham tatso bhagamadam vikshamanam chakeshavaha prashamaya prasadaya Tatraibantaradiyata. Ladies, please. Word for word. Tasham, of them. Tat, that. Sobhaga, due to their good fortune. Madam, intoxicated state. Viksha, observing. Manam, the false pride. Cha, and. Keshavaha, Lord Krishna. Prashamaya, in order to diminish it. Prasadaya, to show them favor. Tatra eva, right there. Antar adiyata, he disappeared. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Lord Keshava, seeing the gopis too proud of their good fortune, wanted to relieve them of this pride and show them further mercy. Thus, he immediately disappeared. Purport. The word prasadaya here is significant. Lord Krishna was not going to neglect the gopis. Rather, he would increase the power of their loving affairs by making another spectacular arrangement. After all, the gopis were basically proud of Krishna. He also made this arrangement, as we shall see, to show special favor to the beautiful young daughter of King Vrishabhanu. Shrimati Radharani Ki Jai. Thus in the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 29th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Krishna and the Gopis Meet for the Rasa Dance. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Militangena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Gena Bhutale Swayam Upakadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurun Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Mitam Tam Sajivam Sarvetam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Mitam Sha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagapate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Brindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Tasham Tatsu Bhagamadam Vikshamanam Chakeshava Prashamaya Prasadaya Tatravantara Diyata. Lord Keshava, seeing the gopis too proud of their good fortune, wanted to relieve them of this pride and show them further mercy. Thus, he immediately disappeared. Finishing this section, we're going to see how Krishna performs activities apparently that cause great despondence and difficulty to the gopis, but actually his intention is manifold, as it's explained that when Krishna performs one activity or one action, he accomplishes many different things. So the gopis here have become proud, feeling that each one of them was the most fortunate woman in the whole world, that they had captured Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for themselves, and they were thinking like this and becoming excessively proud. Of course, it's described here that they're proud of Krishna, and this is not in any way mundane pride, but is actually spiritual pride, and because of that pride, Krishna is actually going to enhance the loving relationship between them and the mercy that they get. But we can also understand another thing is Krishna is also making arrangements, as Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur describes or breaks down this verse slightly differently, where he's explaining that actually while Krishna is seeing that the gopis are becoming proud, but he's also seeing that Radharani is exhibiting manam, that she's becoming angry. So she's becoming upset because Krishna is, all the other gopis are thinking that they're the only ones with Krishna, and she's thinking, but I'm the best and I want to be with Krishna. So because of this, Krishna is thinking, okay, so how can I curb this pride in the gopis and at the same time satisfy Srimati Radharani? So in this way, Krishna disappears from the assembly. But Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur describes that also Krishna, he's really manifested this pride within the gopis, so that they become bewildered, so that they won't notice that he also slips off with Radharani. So Krishna is doing so many things at one time. Meanwhile, all he's thinking about really is being with Radharani, Srimati Radharani. So Krishna will do this, and we'll see in the next couple of chapters how Krishna manages to exhibit and show who is the most exalted of all of the gopis, and that is Srimati Radharani, because he slips off with her only, leaving all the rest of the gopis completely bewildered. One might question, because in the different Puranas it's described that Krishna is dancing here with millions of gopis. So I don't know if anyone has ever been anywhere where there have been a million people. But it's a lot. I know I was at Jagannath Puri for the Rath Yatra, and they reckon there's somewhere around a million people that come for the festival. And it was a phenomenal experience. You know, I thought being in Soho Street on a festival day was crowded, but being in Jagannath Puri for the Rath Yatra is, you experience this is a lot of people. If anyone has been along the bank of the Jamuna in different places, but this pastime, the Rasa dance takes place at in different places. Anyway, in most places along the Jamuna, there's not really much space for a million people to gather around. So one might question, first of all, two things. One is, how is it that Krishna is, one man is dancing with 1 million ladies? So the analogy that Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gives is that, but Krishna is Yogeshwara. And if Subari Muni can transform, can manifest himself and expand himself, it's described 50 times to be with 50 wives, then for Krishna, who is the supreme yogi, he can manifest himself so many times. Just like Narada Muni, when he went to visit Dwarka, he was experiencing that Krishna had married 16,108 wives in 16,108 different palaces. So this is not something ordinary. So it's something that we should not take as mundane. That, of course, the ladies, all the gopis, they were thinking, I'm the most fortunate one that I have captured Krishna. But gentlemen might be thinking, oh, you know, of course, maybe one day I can be Krishna and enjoy with 1 million ladies, you know, like this. So the contamination of pride in either way is there. But Krishna, it's described that Yogamaya has manifested this whole pastime, and it's described that even one, just one small speck of the land of Vrindavan can open up and unfold like an entire village could manifest just out of that one small speck of space in Vrindavan. That Yogamaya can unfold Krishna's potency, because Krishna's potency, his dham is unlimited, just as unlimited as he is. So just one small piece of land can open up and manifest entire villages with rivers and cool breezes and enough land for easily 1 million people to dance under the moonlight. And so even a small space in Vrindavan is unlimited and can manifest all of Krishna's pastimes and lila. In fact, if we visit Vrindavan, in hearing this, I was reminded how, anyone knows a Prabhupada disciple that used to stay in Vrindavan named Radhakund Prabhu? Anyone remembers Radhakund Prabhu? He was, Hare Krishna, he was, we were on Yatra once, and I was rushing ahead of the Parikram path around Govardhan, because I wanted to take a picture of all these devotees on the Govardhan Parikram coming forward, and there's about 4 or 5 sannyasis in the front, and Prabhupada disciples, and so many exalted Vaishnavas. And it was reminding me of that scene in Mayapur, you know, where everyone's walking with Prabhupada, and all those dandas are there, and it's just like ecstatic. I was like, oh, let me get a good picture. So I rushed ahead and I darted across the front of everyone. And when I did, I stepped on this, I sort of pushed myself up onto the bank by stepping on this roots of this one tree. And then I landed up on the bank and I started taking pictures. And I was like so happy I got the picture. And then later we gathered around on the bank of Govardhan. And Maharaj was about to begin his katha, and this devotee Radhakun came up to me, and he was so heavy, and he just said, Haribol Prabhu. I was like, I think he's going to give me some serious mercy right now. And he said, I hope you got that picture you were trying to get. And I was like, oh yeah, I did, it was really good. And he said, anyway, you better be careful, because every tree in Vrindavan is a Kalpa Vriksha tree. And if you step on that tree, if you step on the roots, you know, you're committing serious offenses, so you better be careful. And he said, so even watch out, all the little ants that are crawling. He's like, he just started talking. And all of a sudden, the way he was manifesting the Dham, he was just, you could tell, he was experiencing it like that. He was like, every tree, every rock, every grain of sand should be treated with the utmost of respect. And you should be really careful, because if you come here and you start, you know, not seeing in the right consciousness, then you commit so many offenses and can cause you so many problems. He said, so be careful, Prabhu. And then he walked off. Ever since then, I've been very careful around trees and different living entities in the Dham. So like this, Krishna's holy Dham is very sacred and very special, and Krishna can unfold their yoga maya for the pleasure of Krishna, and his devotees can unfold and unmanifest this entire pastime even from just one small bit of space in Vrindavan. It's described that when Krishna leaves the spiritual world, and he comes to this material world, to this earthly plane, that he brings the entire Dham with him, all of the rivers, all of the stones, all the rocks, all the trees, all of his intimate loving associates. They all come with him to this material world to enjoy the pastimes with Krishna. So what we have here is not some mundane unfolding of a debauchee with some ladies on a full moon night along the river that the mind might have us engage in, but actually it's the topmost pastimes of the Supreme Lord exhibiting the spirit of completely surrendered souls who are willing to give up all religiosity, everything, just to be with Krishna and to give Krishna pleasure. But as we see here, and we discussed before, that the danger is, even once we give up this, try to give up everything to serve Krishna, we have to be very careful. Because Krishna can empower us, and Krishna can manifest so many wonderful things in our life, and we start to become more attached and attracted to Krishna's energy than we are to Krishna, and we can begin to forget that it's by Krishna's mercy that all these things are happening, as opposed to we begin to think that it's actually by my own mercy. And the danger is that we can become proud. I'm sure no one here has ever become proud in any way, shape, or form. But the danger is that we become puffed up with our own false pride. And there's another famous English saying that something cometh before a fall. And pride cometh before a fall. And when we become proud, then this is a wonderful opportunity for the illusory energy, for Maya, to have her way with us. So she begins to work on us, increasing the opulence, maybe increasing the opulence. Krishna is reciprocating with our devotion, but we may get some opportunity to do some service. Someone may see us cleaning the floor in the temple one day, and someone says, oh, so nice, why don't you come and help make the garlands for Krishna one day? And you come in and you make the garlands for Krishna, And as you're making the garlands, you're thinking, wow. And at first you're thinking, this is so amazing, such mercy. Krishna, thank you, thank you. Isn't it in the beginning we're hearts so full of gratitude and gratefulness and feeling like, yeah, God, this is so, and that wonderful devotee that asked me. And then after some time we're thinking, I make the best garlands. It's only me, and that other person who made those garlands yesterday is... You know, they don't even know how to make garlands. Maybe I wish someone would teach them. And look, today, the garlands I made. I don't know who made the garlands today. Anyway, this isn't a personal. I'm not having a go at anyone. But just using the example. You know, I did it, and look how amazing. And sitting there just boasting, full of pride. And then immediately, as soon as pride is there, we begin to think ourselves better than others. And what begins to happen is the critical mentality and the condescending mentality and the mentality of aparad ensues. And then Krishna calls you and he says, please watch out. And we get signs. We do get warnings. Krishna lets us know that he's concerned for us. But... we don't always listen or hear, so we have to be very careful of this this propensity for becoming proud in our devotional service. They say that a pauper is proud of his penny, and we can easily become so proud of even the smallest thing. I'm so proud of the way I clean the floor, so proud of how I washed, so proud of how I did this. Pride is there at every step. There's an opportunity for us to just think that I'm great. I'm what I've done like this. Did anyone see? Don't they see? Don't they know? Don't they understand that when I'm chanting here with my eyes closed, that I'm experiencing such ecstasy? And if I slip into such a deep state of ecstasy that I drift into the spiritual world and my head goes down like this. And if someone wakes me, how dare they interrupt my deep meditation on the Supreme Lord? I wasn't sleeping. Anyone's ever done that? You try to pretend, don't you hate it? You're like, I wasn't sleeping, I was just trying to... When, you know, it was clear to everyone, you don't even know how long your head's been bobbing there. But yet you're thinking, I wasn't sleeping. You know, that's pride. That's... the inability to hear that, you know, by the way, you're becoming inattentive in your japa, but no, I wasn't sleeping. I was certainly in Goloka with the Supreme Lord. You know, dragged away by his charming flute. So like this, pride can overcome us very easily. But we'll get to hear how the gopis dealt with this when Krishna goes away. If Krishna takes away his mercy from us, then we may become disgruntled, or we may become offensive. We may become disgruntled. That's, you know what that means?
Yes.
It's not funny. There's so many disgruntled persons. It's so easy to become disgruntled and to push blame. But you know, to own responsibility for the fact that maybe I had something to do with it. Or in the gopis' case, they just immediately began to remember Krishna and take deeper shelter of Krishna. So we can understand if our pride is situated on the spiritual platform or if it's situated on the material platform, because if Krishna removes himself, Ashishava Paravatampanoshtamam Adarshanam Mamahatam Karotava Itatata Virato Lamprana Lamprana Matpranastusa Evanaparaha. That no matter whether Krishna handles me roughly by his embrace or makes me brokenhearted by not being present before me, that because he's completely free to do whatever he likes. And he will do whatever he likes because he can. And we have a limited scope of free will in which we can do whatever we like also to some extent. And we can choose to become disgruntled, or we can choose to remember Krishna and take deeper shelter, understanding that somehow I must have done something to lose Krishna's favor. So let me work even harder to remember Krishna and try to attract him back. And then we see that Krishna returns, as is stated in the end of this purport, that Krishna has no intention of leaving the gopis, but in fact he would increase the power of their loving affairs by making another spectacular arrangement. So Krishna is always full of surprises, but we have to hold on to and remember him constantly and never forget him, and that's the test. And when Krishna tests us, then we have to show him that I have no intention of forgetting you, Krishna. So no matter Ashishava Pararatam Panoshimam, no matter what happens, I will keep chanting your glories. Like that. Jai Granth Rashima Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Anyone has a quick question or comment? Yes. You're not disgruntled, are you? Are you in danger of becoming disgruntled?
Every moment.
Me too. You can find some other disgruntled persons and seek solace.
And then broadcast it on Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. Good place, good forum.
it was just a quick comment. Was I read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, yesterday, Prabhupada says that by hearing about Krishna and the association of devotees, Krishna becomes dear.
He becomes?
Dear.
Dear.
That was very nice.
Okay. By hearing about Krishna and the association of devotees, Krishna becomes dear. D-E-A-R. Okay. Anything else? Yes, Mother. There's a microphone.
Just a classic question. General public normally assumes of Krishna or of God. They don't know he's called Krishna. How do you answer the question? Because you use the word disgruntled. They assume probably that Krishna does become disgruntled when we are acting in certain ways. So how do you answer that question? Does Krishna ever become actually disgruntled?
Does Krishna become disgruntled? Well, to say that he can't would be limiting him. So Krishna can become disgruntled if he likes. But the point is not about Krishna becoming disgruntled. The point is that his servants become disgruntled with him. That's the point. So Krishna can do whatever he likes, but I'm not sure of any specific pastime where Krishna becomes particularly disgruntled and leaves Krishna consciousness. So Krishna stops chanting his own holy, leaves his godhood, his godhead, his godheadness, and goes on Facebook and tells everyone, stop chanting my name, I'm not here anymore. Stop calling me, I'm not around. So, I've had it with you guys, too much of this chanting is driving me crazy. Yeah. Say that again. Mm-hmm. Krishna becomes disgruntled. Yeah, the word disgruntled, you know, basically, I mean, I don't know if disgruntled. Yeah. He becomes, you know, Krishna becomes very upset, for sure, whether he ever leaves us when he's positioned within the heart of every living entity, every jiva, including the earthworms and the cockroaches and all these other bugs, you know. Of course, his mercy, he withholds his mercy, and one tends to suffer because of it. But whether it's that Krishna actually leaves and never will accept that person back again, that's, as far as I'm aware, that's not exactly the case, but of course it's a serious danger that one may have to suffer a lot before one can get Krishna's mercy. I mean, the pastime of Durvasa Muni and Ambarish Maharaj, you know, Durvasa Muni offended Ambarish, and you know, because of that offense, he went everywhere trying to find someone who could, you know, repel the Sudarshan chakra of the Lord. And eventually he went to Vishnu, and Vishnu said, not even I can do it. You have to go back to the devotee. But even in that situation, the Lord eventually, you know, withdrew his upset or his anger, which may be different from being disgruntled, which kind of means that you get fed up and you go away. But Krishna doesn't necessarily go away, but he can become angry. But why does he become angry? His anger isn't just because he likes to get upset and, you know, thrust his, you know, all pervasiveness upon someone. It's because he's upset because he loves his devotees, and he loves you too, and he doesn't want you to offend devotees, just like a mother may punish a child, you know, not because she loves to just inflict punishment, but because she wants to try to teach you how to act correctly so that you won't make mistakes and suffer. So the mother may inflict, or the father may inflict, some punishment or chastisement in order to correct the ill behavior. And sometimes, Krishna may inflict some punishment in order to teach us something so that we learn. But it's not because he's disgruntled, necessarily, I don't think. Okay, very quick. Is it a point or a question?
Oh, question. Because the gopis, they're selfless, and the conditioned soul, before they come to Krishna consciousness, they live a very selfish life, where they're in the center, they're self-centered, and then we come in and we have different clothes and tilak, but that self-centeredness still remains. How can we be a true follower of the Kaur Damsels of Raj and become a selfless servant of Krishna?
Distribute books, distribute books, distribute books. Thank you for the question. Yeah, last question.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. It's a very wonderful class. I was just wondering, Prabhu, how can we understand that separation exists at all? Because we know in the chanting of the Maha Mantra that Krishna is none different than the mantra, and he's right there. So how to understand about the separation?
Yeah, I'm sure for someone as pure as yourself, that when you chant, Krishna is personally manifesting and you're seeing him, so you feel no separation. But Srila Prabhupada explained that just like the Goswamis, they sing, you know, where is Krishna? Is he over here? Is he on Govardhan? Where is he? They can't find him. They're chanting probably on quite an elevated platform, and they're still searching for Krishna, feeling separation from him. So probably it's likely that, you know, although we're chanting Krishna's holy name, it may be unlikely that we're actually experiencing Krishna personally being present. In one sense, there is no separation. But at the same time, we're not experiencing that union. We're not really experiencing that on the fullest platform. So we should feel desperation, like a child crying out for his mother, that Krishna, where are you? I need you. I'm calling out to you, and you're still not here because I'm so fallen, I'm so lost that I still can't have, like, even Lord Chaitanya prays, you know, Nam Namakari Bahudan Yujasarva Shaktis. You know, I have no taste for the holy name. And he's crying out, you know, for the Lord to be present. So,
please forgive, I didn't mean myself. I'm such a lowly creature. I mean, I have no understanding about Krishna's non-difference in the name. But I was thinking with the gopis, how they're in separation, and that's what I meant. The gopis on their very exalted level.
Yeah, they're on a very exalted level, that they're personally with Krishna, but then Krishna personally leaves. But the example that's taught by the gopis in the next chapter is that they go on remembering him, which in one sense is non-different from being with Krishna. But at the same time, they're not exactly in his personal presence, but Krishna leaves, and they feel that he's left their association, but then they start to remember him, and constantly, machchita magata prana bodhiyanta parasparam katyantas chamam nicham tushanti cha ramanti cha, that the devotees, they derive great satisfaction and bliss from constantly enlightening one another and discussing the topics of Krishna. So like that, then we can always be in contact with Krishna. I mean, we stand here before the Supreme Lord, non-different. Krishna is here. Do we experience it? Are we really thinking like that? Are we really actually, you know, feeling that I'm here before Krishna? I have to be very, you know, whatever I do, and there's Krishna, oh, Krishna, you know, whether, whatever, awe and reverence or whatever, but are we really experiencing that? Prabhupada said that Landanishwara is non-different from Krishna. This is Krishna himself pretending to be a deity. Do we think like that? Or do we just kind of... Three kleshas. Yeah. So, but he's here. So, Hare Krishna. I'll stop there. Thank you very much. So, Gandhra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. So, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, for the pleasure of their lordships, we have some Sankirtan scores from yesterday. Okay, so first day of the... I forgot my phone. No, you do me a favor and go up to the... So, for the... Let's see, for the pleasure of their lordships, we have some Sankirtan scores from yesterday. In Radha's Boutique, we distributed two books for 184 Lakshmi points. Transcendental Shopping Ki Jai. And in Govinda's Restaurant, we distributed prasadam to at least 226 customers for a total of 1,701 Lakshmi points. Transcendental Prasadam Distribution Ki Jai. And on book distribution yesterday, first day of the Radhastami Marathon, 6 days leading up to the appearance day of Srimati Radharani, this coming Sunday. Starting with Radhalandanishwara Prabhu, one Lakshmi point, one small book for 0.25 book points. And Bhakta Pasha, three Lakshmi points, three small books for 0.75 book points. Bhaktin Irene, 25 Lakshmi points, 20 small books, one Maha Big Book for 7 book points. Bhakta Dale, 39 Lakshmi points, 14 small, 6 Maha Big for 15.5 book points. Bhakta Adam, 105 Lakshmi points, 24 small, 11 medium, 1 big, 12 maha big for 36.5 book points. Bhakta Alexi, actually I'll read these other scores. I'll read the other scores. Just we've got some scores from the devotees who are doing traveling Sankirtan down near Brighton. Bhakta Antony distributed two Maha Big and 8 small books. Bhakta Shiv, 7 Maha Big and 10 small books. Bhakta Lori, 32 Maha Big and 7 small books. Sachi Kishore Prabhu, 45 Maha Big and 5 small books. They're keeping their Lakshmi scores concealed. And Bhakta Alexi, 351 Lakshmi points, 48 small books, 8 medium books, 1 big book, 43 Maha big books, 1 set of Srimad Bhagavatams, I guess, for 137.25 book points. So a total of 6 scores, 524 Lakshmi points, 110 small, 19 medium, 2 big, 62 maha big, for 197.25 book points. Yeah, so I imagine with the scores from the devotees elsewhere, that was quite a big first day. So, first day of the Radhastami Marathon, so... As we were saying the other day, if everyone can please participate, even if you try to distribute just one book, a day, then that's very significant. So everyone can try to do a little something. And many hands make light work. And for the pleasure of Srimati Radharani on Radhastami, so we can offer our prayer to their lordships. Dear Shri Shri Radhalanda Nishwar, Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra, Shri Shri Gaurani Thai, and Giri Govardhan, we offer our most respectful obeisances unto you. With a mood of deep gratitude and appreciation, we request your causeless mercy upon us. For your pleasure, we are endeavoring to distribute the books of your pure devotee Srila Prabhupada to the fallen conditioned souls of London. Please enable us to cooperate together in a mood of selfless service in order to maintain and increase our efforts. Please send more devotees to assist us in bringing many new souls to your lotus feet. We, your surrendered servants, humbly beg. Jai Srila Prabhupada's Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So I'd like to welcome Madhurya Gaurangi Machi, I think we did this morning, but Krishna sent her to help distribute books for the marathon. So nice that she's here. And also just a reminder that this evening we'll start a series of talks by His Grace Harisari Prabhu about the glories of Srila Prabhupada. So he'll be in the seminar room this evening from 6, and tomorrow morning, tomorrow Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday mornings, he'll also be giving classes here in the temple room speaking about the person Bhagavat, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So, we just need volunteers to serve prasadam on the ladies' side. Okay, couple. And volunteers on the men's side. Okay, and volunteers to help clean up the temple room after breakfast. Fantastic. Okay, if everyone could please help in the prasadam chain, then... Say it again. Prasadam has already walked up the stairs, so we need less of a prasadam chain. The enthusiastic Vaishnavas. Hare Krishna.